now tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. You are tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation. I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. Happy New Year. I can damn near almost officially say that. Happy New Year. We made it. Take some time out, man. Listen, as you get ready to pop the champagne, pop your wine, your sparkling grape juice, whatever it is that you're going to drink. It should be some Greenwood whiskey in there somewhere throughout the night, by the way. But whatever it is that you are celebrating with, take some time to thank God, thank the ancestors, thank everybody who had a hand in just overseeing your well-being. Because a lot of people didn't make it. We've all probably lost someone due to this pandemic. And take time to reflect. Take time to be thankful. And then I want you to take time to celebrate yourself. Because like I said earlier, we made it, man. And despite what anyone said, the world hasn't ended. It's not the zombie apocalypse. We're not out in the streets killing each other. I mean, no more than we used to. But we're not out. It's not mayhem in the streets of America, and that's what they tried to portray. So be grateful, be thankful, and celebrate yourself and your loved ones that are here with you today. Now, let's get into this, man. I mentioned earlier that this episode is brought to you by Greenwood Whiskey. Celebrate the New Year's with Greenwood Whiskey. I've had a lot of people tell me how much they loved it. Everyone who I've sent out a bottle to, everyone who's listened and purchased a bottle, everyone has enjoyed themselves. So I extend this to you once again. Go out, get a bottle or two, and have fun. Drink responsibly. Also brought to you by our good people and partners at Coffee and Kush. Check us out. Apple has their podcast. Check us out on Apple. You can check us out on Spotify. You can also check us out on audioboom.com. Good people at Coffee and Kush. Salute to you guys. Now, let's get into it a little bit, shall we? Because we got a lot to talk about. I want to just graze over a lot of stuff very quickly before I let you guys go for the new year. And I hope to see you on the other side of 2021. So one thing I want to cover, we got on deck Master P and Baron Davis. They're in talks to buying Reebok. That's dope. I also want to talk about Dwayne Haskins being let go. And it's a trickle down effect to a lot of stuff that goes on in that scenario. And we'll kind of go through all of those things. And then I want to just go through really quickly. I want to talk about the bowl games that are coming up and then the NFL. Right? Cool? Cool. But first things first, I want to do is get into, I told y'all, my bad. DJ Reese Boogie, crank that intro.
It's time for...
Hey man, I told y'all that Dwayne Haskins did not have any wiggle room to play around with the Washington football team. I told you guys that he did not have enough cachet around that locker room to be going out here with some strippers with this lady with no mask on and think that everything was going to be cool and still be stinking up the joint on the football field. I told y'all he didn't carry that kind of weight around the room. And guess what? He was cut. Yep, he was cut on Monday. And we'll get into it, you know, all the arms and legs of the situation a little bit later. But just know, guess who told you? That's right. I told y'all. Next on the I told you list is I told you I wasn't down with the whole small quarterback experiment. And I'm just not. Like, I think Kyler Murray is fascinating. I think he's a good player. I think Tua Tagovailoa is fascinating. I think he's a good player. I just would not have a small quarterback on my squad if I was starting the team. And some of the effects are starting to show. Right now, Kyler Murray looks like he is going to play versus the Rams. But, like, he's injured. Tua, I don't think, is injured. He just wasn't playing well to the point where they had to bring in Ryan Fitzpatrick to come save the day against the Raiders. So, I told y'all that I wasn't really down with this, and everybody gave me pushback talking about how I was hating on the small QB and how much the game is changing and evolving, and I didn't see it. I don't see it, and I told y'all, like, if you look around the league right now, those QBs aren't the ones that are successful. Now, my bad. I told you guys last week in my picks that the New York Jets would get back to their tanking ass ways, and guess what? They didn't. They jumped out here, and they looked like a real football team against Baker Mayfield and the Browns. Keep in mind, like, take it with a grain of salt. You can always say that the Browns weren't at full strength, but this late in the season, what NFL team is at full strength? Yes, they had a bunch of receivers out. They had a bunch of linebackers out due to COVID reasons. But I thought even with that, the Jets would still find time to tank for Trevor or to lay down and hold up the L. And they didn't. So if you put money on the Jets or you are a Jet fan who is looking forward to Trevor Lawrence, well, you were looking forward to Trevor Lawrence. That ain't happening no more. My bad, player. My bad.
Commissioner Gordon.
So check this out. I mentioned this in the intro, and I think it's a super dope story, man. I don't know if it's going to happen. But it's been placed out there that Master P and Baron Davis are looking to buy Reebok. And in my mind, this is everything because it's black representation at the highest level. And I believe that will trickle down to all walks of employment, creativity, everything if this deal goes through, right? So, quick synopsis of what's happened with Reebok lately. Adidas bought Reebok for about $3.8 billion in 2005, and they really haven't had a lot of luck in turning it around, right? Because you ain't buying no damn Reeboks. When the last time you bought some Reebok? Okay. But sales fell, and they basically tried to grab a niche in terms of women apparel. So they do this thing with the women's line, and they got Cardi B on board, and I think that's super dope in terms of how, if this goes through with Master P and Baron Davis, where they can continue to shift their focus, right? So they could have a women's line, and I'll get into my ideas a little later, but that's what it was. Like, I think you can continue to focus on the women's line. Master P, Baron Davis, those guys have, like, cred in the hip-hop community. They got cred in the sports community. So what you can do, you get some of these hip-hop influencers that can come on board and draw attention to the brand. you could get some of these athletes that are out here and they could draw attention to the brand, because everybody is down for black. Like, everybody, especially our people, they're looking for something new. Like, let's be honest. Outside of the self-lacing shoe, Nike ain't really giving you nothing new. Like, they're trying new ideas, and a lot of this stuff really isn't working. But what's keeping them the juggernaut that they are is the fact that you're still buying Jordans, is the fact that you're still buying Air Max 95s and Air Max 1s and Air Max 90s. These old ideas are continuously generating them new money. But they're not giving you any more new creative ideas. But, you know, that's not to say that Reebok is going to get to where Nike is with Master P and Baron Davis. I don't see it. Nike's a juggernaut, like I said earlier. And you don't have to be there to be successful. Like, Adidas is the holding company for Reebok right now. And hell, they're not Nike. So for you to believe that you could take this company from them and turn it into a beast, probably not. But you can go and make it successful. But like I said, having the black option is everything. Because I believe, like, this is what LeVar Ball, I hate to bring his name up, everybody talks about LeVar Ball, but this is what he was shooting for. He wanted it to be another option. And everybody ridiculed him and they laughed at him. But what wound up happening was people listened and supported. They may have laughed at first, but then when they thought about what he was saying, they listened and they supported. The problem with what LeVar Ball had was eventually his demand exceeded his supply. He didn't have enough money to keep pumping out shoes or to make as many shoes as he thought he could. So when people were ordering, people weren't getting their products. But it wasn't a failure because no one tried to buy it. You had hip-hop artists trying to buy him that were supporting him. You had other athletes that were involved. I know people who ordered shoes who were just regular, you know, just me and you. People who were ordering shoes because they thought it was a dope idea and they were down to support an upstart. But for Reebok, you don't have to be an upstart. That ball is already somewhat in motion. You just got to give it a little extra push to keep it going. Because think about it. Like I said, this is black faces at the ultimate level, which is ownership. And I believe that will trickle down into not just black faces, but other people who don't really get these opportunities. A lot of times, women don't get opportunities in a lot of these companies. Other nationalities and people of color don't get opportunities in a lot of these companies because of the people who are in position to hire. They typically hire people who look like them, people who think like them, and people who they can talk to and they can feel comfortable with. Well, if you have a different set of ownership, you get a different set of ideas. And I think that can flow from the top down. You get a different set of... Do this. Just for me. Whenever you get a chance, look up shoe designers. Who designs shoes for Nike? Who designs shoes for Puma? Who designs shoes for New Balance, Adidas, etc.? Who designs those shoes? And you tell me what they look like. You can tell me. You can hit me on Twitter. At G Robinson Sports on Twitter. Or you can shoot me up under, you know, shoot me a quick message on Instagram at the.commissioner.gordon on Instagram. You can let me know. So, like I'm saying, this is what's going on because we don't have those faces. And I know that you're saying, oh, but you know, it's already black people that's executives and some. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Guess what? Michael Jordan doesn't own Jordan. He does not. Michael Jordan gets paid off of the profits that come from Jordan. Nike owns Jordan, the brand. Nike owns that, not Michael Jordan. I think Jay-Z, I'm not sure if he still is, but I know at one point in time he held a position with Puma. Like he was might have been like a creative director of basketball or basketball operations, president of basketball. But what it was, I think it was a thing for Puma that Jay-Z was being used essentially to bring athletes to sign to Puma. I think Marvin Bagley, DeAndre Ayton, Kyle Kuzma, I think, is on Puma. RJ Barrett, a few other guys, but Jay-Z doesn't own Puma. He doesn't own a stake in Puma. I mean, he may have stock, but he's not a Puma owner. When you type in who owns Puma, it won't be Hov. He won't be standing there throwing up the rock. You know what I'm saying? So this is the next level. This is the next step. This is ownership. Like I said, I don't know if it's going to happen. I hope it does happen. But I want to salute Master P and Baron Davis for at least getting in the door and creating the conversation of black ownership in shoes and apparel. Because if you know Master P, if you've been following Master P, Master P has been trying to get his hand in everything. And I don't have an issue with it. Like, he's got Rap Snacks. He's got him and a partner. He has a partner. They're doing Rap Snacks. They created the Rap Snacks noodles. I think he's doing, he has the Uncle P's rice. He's doing rice. What else does he have? He has, the cereal. He had like the Hootie Hoos. I mean, I hate the name because he ripped it off from Outkast, but you know, he has the Hootie Hoo cereal. And I think he tried to start a shoe company, like the Moniatis or something that he was going around with that him and Romeo was doing. So I guess seeing that and understanding that, yo, this is way harder than I thought it would be to get an upstart. If you get the chance to get the name Reebok associated with you, it'll be a whole lot smoother and you could probably generate a whole lot more sales. So once again, shout out to Master P, shout out to Baron Davis. Hey man, I hope this thing goes through and I'll support 100%.
Commissioner Gordon.
So if you know me and you rock with me and you see me on Instagram at the.commissioner.gordon and you check out all the pictures and everything, you know I'm a t-shirt guy, you know I'm a hoodie type guy, and I always have different stuff on because I don't like a lot of the plain basic stuff that looks like everyone else. So with that, man, I'm happy to announce our partnership with 323 Custom Apparel. You can check out some of the work at 323_custom_apparel. And they have t-shirts, there's hoodies, there's shoes, there's sweatsuits. Whatever you rock with, man, you can customize it. You understand what I'm saying? So this is giving you the power to control what you wear. What message do you want to send? Hit my folks at 323 Custom Apparel, man, and make your clothing your statement. And I have been given the authority. I know last week I told you wouldn't get a damn cent off, but I have been given the authority now that if you mention the name Commissioner Gordon, you will receive 15% off of your purchase at 323 Custom Apparel. Be sure to check them out at 323_custom_apparel. Make your clothing your statement.
Commissioner Gordon.
So, we talked earlier about Dwayne Haskins being let go by the Washington football team, right? And I told you that this dude didn't have the wiggle room to be doing some of the dumb things that he was doing. I don't want to go deep into this because I can go so far left or I can go so far right. And we can have this conversation all day long, literally. But I'll just touch on a couple things really quickly. Now, before I start this, I will also say, don't get me wrong and don't be fooled. I am in no way, shape, or form saying Dwayne Haskins is a great NFL QB by any stretch of the imagination. I am not saying Haskins is a good football NFL quarterback. I'm not saying it. Don't put those words in my mouth. I am saying that he's a talented quarterback. You've seen him be able to run. You've seen him be able to throw. His decision-making is what's at question out here, right? On and off the field. Like, clearly he's not making great choices on the field, and he's not making great choices off the field. So, don't get me wrong. Don't come at me saying, oh, so you would take him on your team? Nope. Not as the starter. I might take him as the backup. But that brings me to some of my points. One, this young man was asked to be the face of a franchise, A, that didn't want him. Dan Snyder wanted him. Ron Rivera clearly does not want Dwayne Haskins as his quarterback. So he was, knowing that, he was put behind the eight ball already. And at 23 years old, you know that these young people are going to make immature-ass choices, and that's what he's a victim of being immature. So, I hope that he gets another opportunity on another team. I hope that he gets the opportunity that in a situation similar to what Jordan Love is kind of going through. You know what I'm saying? You can go, you can watch a cat like Aaron Rodgers, and he can show you how to be a pro. Maybe a quarterback wouldn't nurture you and put you up under their arm and bring you in and give you step-by-step instructions. But sometimes you need someone to be a model of how you conduct yourself on the field, how you conduct yourself in the locker room, how you conduct yourself with the media, how you conduct yourself off the field. You need someone that you can visually see and say, oh, that's how you do it. And Haskins was not given that luxury. And for that, I don't fault him all the way. Like, yes, you should be smart enough to where you can make different decisions. When your girlfriend says, hey, let's go to the strip club and let's throw this money, you should be like, hell no, that Rona out there. I don't need random asses in my face. You know what I'm saying? We can do that another time. Like right now, I'm cool. But like I said, he's 23 years old. And I don't know what 23-year-old male, straight male, you know. But if you give him the option of having naked women parade around him, he's going to take that option every time. You say strip, they say club. Let's go. So, I can't all the way fault him for being young and dumb, but I can fault the franchise for knowing that he's young and knowing that he's kind of immature and just leaving him out to dry. That's where the problem comes in. So I say that to say hopefully he'll get a chance to come out from this, learn from his mistake, get another opportunity, because we are not, and I say we, as a black man, I'm not a black quarterback because I've never played the game. I never played the quarterback position. I can't throw from here to the wall. So I'm not a quarterback, but I see that black quarterbacks don't get the second chances. They don't get the chance to be in the background of the football team. Like, you got guys who's 40 years old. Matt Schaub is the backup for the Atlanta Falcons. Right, Matt Schaub. He got to have grandkids. Colt McCoy was just in the game for the New York Giants the other day, throwing passes. We don't always get that luxury as black quarterbacks. So I ask and I hope that he gets that luxury. And it doesn't help when you have national pundits out here like Stephen A. Smith, who is laughing on Twitter and he's talking about it and like, ha, 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 it was nice knowing you, or something that he said, well, you'll never work in this league again. You'll never work, you know, you'll never have another job again. Like, damn. I'm sure you have, I'm sure Stephen A. has faced some type of discrimination in the journalism business. I'm certain of it. And I'm sure he's made some type of mistake in his career. I'm certain of it. So to wish that another young man never work again is the dumbest shit ever to me. Knowing what you know about black quarterbacks. Yes, there are a lot of them in the league. You say, but half the team in the league now got black quarterbacks. Yeah, but guess what? Those dudes are amazing. You have to be great. You have to either be great or you're not in the league. You can't be an average black quarterback. You're not given that luxury. And the same goes for Booger McFarland, who gets up here and he says basically that Haskins didn't take it serious. He came and was more worried about his brand. Do you know that, man? How is it that you get up here on ESPN on Monday Night Football and you make this blanket statement about not just black quarterbacks, but about black athletes in general? And you sit here tap dancing because you're ultimately stamping a stereotype that people have had about black people for generations. And here you go saying, yup, they can't play. Look at them. They don't take it serious. You were a part of that number, sir, at one point in time in the NFL. So before you go pointing fingers, take a look in the mirror. Did you offer him any help? Did you pick up a phone to call Haskins? Did you pick up a phone to call his rep? Did you pick up a phone to call his agent? Did you pick up a phone to call the Washington football team and try to reach out to him? If you see that he's pushing, or you think he's pushing his brand so damn much, you can hit him in his DM and message him and tell him that he needs to stay focused. And if you're so inclined and you so feel so strongly about it, offer to be a mentor. Be a guy that he can look to and talk to and call. Offer to help him find another team. Do that. But don't get up here and point fingers and act like you're better than the rest of us. Because that's not leadership. That is what they call cooning. Yes. Sorry, I didn't want to I really didn't want to get that deep with the whole Booger McFarlane stuff. I was just going to touch on it. But I digress. Black quarterbacks are not usually given those second opportunities. Black quarterbacks are not typically given backup roles. The only person that I can think of would be Tyrod Taylor. But Tyrod Taylor, more times than not, he's the best quarterback on the team. The coach may not just want to play him. Tyrod Taylor had Buffalo balling. They yanked him, put him on the bench just for Peterman to come in and throw 5 picks in 2 quarters. And guess who got to go clean up the mess? Tyrod Taylor. I don't remember if they won the game or not, but I'm certain they probably didn't if your first quarterback comes out in the first half and gives the ball away 5 times. I'm sure you're in a hell of a hole. So I can't imagine if Tyrod Taylor brought them back and won. Please, once again, let me know. I don't have a computer right here in front of me to go back and type it up. And I'm sure if I do, you won't sit here and wait. So please let me know. But he's the only guy who's been allowed to be a backup for a while. And like I said, on most teams that he's been a part of, he was the better quarterback. He just might not have been the favorable quarterback. So that's one. That was one thing I just wanted to touch on. I hope that Dwayne Haskins can get another opportunity. And I told y'all from the very beginning that he didn't have that opportunity or that wiggle room to play around and be a young man when he was at Washington. He wasn't the favorite pick. I don't know who Ron Rivera wanted, but he's the guy that he inherited. And I contend to you that Ron Rivera, I don't think he wants any black quarterbacks. I don't think he likes black QBs. Yeah, don't look at me like that, because I'll tell you why. Ron Rivera had the 2015 MVP, Cam Newton. Cam Newton had Carolina 15-1 in the regular season. They go on and they lose to, I think it was the Patriots, in the Super Bowl. They lose in the Super Bowl. The following season, what does Ron Rivera do? Go back and forth with Cam Newton all the way to a point where he benched him for guess what? He benched him for a dress code violation. Yeah, dress code violation. Yeah, Cam Newton. Let that sink in. Like, it's the dude that loves to dress up. And you benched him for a dress code violation? Well, according to Ron Rivera, his policy is you got to have on a collared shirt and a tie. Well, that week, Cam did not have a collared shirt or a tie. Before you get to thinking of what he looked like, he didn't look like AI out here in these streets. He didn't have on a white tee and some baggy jeans and 8 gold chains. No, he was still Cam. Cam had on like a black turtleneck sweater and a gray coat, a pea coat, something like that. Naval coat, pea coat, something. But he was still like business presentable. Like, when is he not? And I think he made the charge because it was something that was going on all weekend where Cam was basically saying, like, look, I don't know what it was. It was a turnaround from, like, they were on a road trip, and I think he might have packed for both games. But he was like, I didn't pack, you know, a suit. I didn't pack a shirt and tie. and Ron Rivera basically had the thing of saying, made the statement like, if you don't have a shirt and tie on when we get off the plane, whatever, whatever, I'm not putting you in the game. And so finally the backlash came, and he wound up sitting Cam for what essentially was the first series of the game, which essentially was like the first play of the game, because whoever the backup was, I believe, came in and threw a pick early. So then you had to put Cam back in the game. But that's what you did to the reigning MVP of the league. Right? That's what you did to the... Think to yourself, what other coach would isolate their star player this way over a tie? Over a tie. So, if that's what he'll do to the MVP, who's his black quarterback? Because all he did after that, like, they had their spats and moments all throughout the rest of their tenure together, where essentially he played a major role, in my opinion, he played a major role in the painting of negative images of Cam Newton. My opinion. And I won't go, like I said, I'm not going to sit here and harp on these moments, but that goes back to what, if he's doing this type of stuff to the dude that's the MVP of the league, you, sir, as a young rookie who ain't did squat, you don't get any wiggle room. And as soon as I can get you out of here, I'm going to get you out of here. And that's what he did. And it's being rumored that Doug Williams, who's on the staff, had to kind of talk him out of cutting him last week, last Monday. So before you sit here and tell me, oh, well, he gave him another shot. No, no, no. He wanted to get rid of his ass last week. Dan Snyder and Doug Williams said, hold on, let's see. Let's give him a little more rope. Let's give him a little more leeway. So, like I said, yes, Haskins made stupid-ass decisions. He did. But he also was not put in the best position to succeed. So for that, like I said, I'm not going to get any further into it. But for that, I'm going to hope that he can grow, learn from this situation. I hope that he can get another opportunity, and I hope he can take advantage of the next opportunity.
Commissioner Gordon.
So, check this out. Last week, I told you guys about the sweet tea sauce I had from my good folks at Smoked Prepared Food Company. And I want you to know that I tried it again this week. Like this is, listen to what happened once again. Like, it was my fault. My bad. So this is what happened. For Christmas, I like to grill. I do a lot of stuff. I grill a roast. I smoke a roast. So I put the roast on the grill. I seasoned it. You know, I got all the seasoning I want. You know, I got it on there. It's been on there a couple hours. It was about a 3-pound roast. Beef roast. About a 3-pound roast. I take it off, slice it, you know, make my slices, prepare it. But guess what? I did not use my sweet tea sauce. So we're eating. And my wife looks at me and she said, hey, your steak is great. The roast is great. But I'm sorry. It would be better if you'd had sweet tea sauce. And she as she's walking to the refrigerator to pull out the sweet tea sauce and put it on the roast. So with that, I'll tell you that you need to try the sweet tea sauce from my folks at Smoked Prepared Foods. That's Smoked, S-M-O-Q S-M-O-K-E-D. PFC.com. SmokedPFC.com. You can go. You can check it out. Like I said, they have the vinegar and chili sauce. They've got the mustard brown sugar sauce. Coming up, they got the aioli sauce. They also have an original sauce that they're putting out as well. So be sure to check it out. Like I said, it's SmokedPFC.com. Smoked, SmokedPFC.com. Or you can check them out on Instagram at SmokedPFC. So, we talked about Dwayne Haskins, and I was scrolling through Twitter, and someone made a great assessment that I found to be fascinating, but I wanted to argue at the same time, right? So, they basically have now spun the fact that Dwayne Haskins did not have success with the Washington football team, and the fact that he is an Ohio State quarterback, that he's another Ohio State quarterback that hasn't become anything in the NFL, right? And I'm looking and I'm thinking like, okay, I like Justin Fields. I hope this narrative doesn't hurt his chances of being drafted in as a top five quarterback, a top five player in the league, because technically all season long it's been Justin Fields just after Trevor Lawrence, but now this comes about and who knows, people might start taking a look at Kyle Trask or, you know, well, what's my guy Mac Jones out here over Justin Fields because of where he's gone to school. And later as we get closer to the draft, I want to explore that dynamic and like kind of do a breakdown. I'm going to try to bring interviews in and people to talk to us and have more conversation about who's better quarterback mechanic wise and all things like that. People who know as opposed to me, who's a guy who's just looking and I think I damn know. But as we get a closer look at the quarterbacks that Ohio State has put out, folks got a good damn point, man. They got a point. Since 2000, you're looking at Craig Krenzel, Troy Smith, Terrell Pryor, Braxton Miller, JT Barrett, Cardale Jones, and yes, Dwayne Haskins. Now, before you Ohio State people jump down my throat and start talking about how many championships you win and all that, that's not what I'm talking about. We know. Talking about translating to the league. And scratching my head, bro. Like, sheesh. I can't argue against it. But check it out. Let me know what you think. Like I said, I'm always available on Twitter at G Robinson Sports. I'm always available on Instagram at the.commissioner.gordon. I'm always there. Check me out. Say something. Laugh with me. Interact. We can do it. Speaking of Ohio State, y'all ready for these bowl games, man? You know, yes, I know. Ohio State ain't supposed to be there. I know. We talked about that already. I know. Yes, they're not supposed to be there. But I'm excited to see the games. You know what I'm saying? I'm excited to check out what's going on to see Ohio State take on Clemson. I think that's going to be a great game. Alabama taking on Notre Dame. I hope it's a good game. Like I don't know if it's going to be a great game. I think Alabama's going to beat their ass. I'm sorry. I'll say it. Alabama is going to beat the hell out of Notre Dame. There it is. You wanted me to say it. You pulled it out of me. And I kind of have a,
sneaky suspicion that Clemson may do the same to Ohio State.
And I only say that because of what I saw at the Ohio State. I think they played Indiana, and they had a hard time against Indiana. But if you want, so if we're looking at the Final Four where Clemson is playing Ohio State, I'm taking Clemson in that one. And if we're looking at Bama against Notre Dame, I'm taking Bama. And then if we're going to have this Clemson-Bama, however many times they faced over the past 8 to 10 years, if we're going to have this again, I'll still choose Bama. Alabama is probably the national champion in my book. So next time we talk, we'll be probably setting up for the national title. And I'll either be telling you, I told you, or shit, my bad. Yeah, so I like Alabama. And speaking of me telling you, I told you, every week I do this. And every week, if you listen to my numbers, you'll see that I be making these picks, baby, in the NFL. Last week, I was 10-6. And I thought I had a terrible week because, like I said, every week I tell you I thought I had a bad week because I know the games that I picked wrong. And I'm like, damn, I picked wrong. So 10-6, I'm not doing any picks this week. Not doing it. Not doing any picks this week because this week is week 17 and you got teams that are shutting it down. You got teams that are resting players. You got teams that have already solidified playoff spots. You got teams that are trying to make playoff spots. I'm not doing that. I'm not risking my immaculate record just because somebody want to put in the third string QB. Hell out of here. I'm not doing it. So, I'm not making any picks. But if you would like, if you're so compelled, I can give you the schedule of some of the games that are to come up this week.
Commissioner Gordon.
Starting with the Atlanta Falcons taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That game is going to be played in Tampa Bay. A good one should be the Dolphins and the Buffalo Bills. After that, you have the Ravens and the Bengals. You also have the Steelers and the Browns. That should be good because the Browns are fighting for a playoff spot. The Vikings and the Lions. The Jets are taking on the Patriots. I don't know anyone who wants to see that game. Cowboys are playing the Giants. Green Bay is taking on the Bears. The Raiders are playing the Broncos. Jacksonville is playing the Colts. The Chargers and the Chiefs. You got the Cardinals and the Rams. Seattle taking on San Francisco. The Saints and the Panthers. Tennessee against the Texans. And then the Washington football team is taking on the Philadelphia Eagles, which could have also some playoff implications. So as you heard some of the games, you know, I'm sure you'll check them out. We'll talk about them. We'll talk about the storylines that'll take place for the playoffs out. And I'm certain throughout these bowl games, something is going to happen that we need to discuss. So I won't hold you. I'll tell you again, Happy New Year. I love you. We made it. Salute. Be proud of yourself. I thank you. I thank the good people and my partners at Coffee and Kush. I thank Greenwood Whiskey. I thank 323 Custom Apparel. I thank Smoke PFC. I thank my engineer and producer, DJ Reese Boogie. And I thank you for tuning in to the Commission Conversation. Until next week, I holla.
Okay, bye.